my goodness. He's with us. He is for us. Hallelujah. What a word. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, God. Such an awesome presence. Let's just worship the Lord with a hand clap again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brandon, you're right on. God is still in the miracle working business. It was so neat. Early this morning, I watched a short 5-minute video about the miracles God is still doing. And you got to know God, He loves His people, Israel. They're the children of Abraham. And we've been grafted in. We're also the children and His children. And the blessings are for us too. His favor is with us and for us also. And so it was so neat. Last Tuesday, the day before Wednesday evening, this was on Tuesday, the day before Rosh Hashanah, we're going to talk about that here in a few moments, there was a schoolhouse there in, I forgot what town it was in, big school, and all the children were outside on the playground, and in fact, they were out in front of the school and sitting on the ground. And they were teaching them or telling them the meaning of the feast days that were coming up and talking about Rosh Hashanah. And so they got through and dismissed. That was during the day on Tuesday. Tuesday evening, we read where Iran bombards Israel with at least 180 missiles, they said. And, of course, I read about the weapon systems, the preventive measures that Israel takes. It's called David's Sling. Now, how awesome is that? And it knocked almost all of those missiles out of the air. And the ones that did hit did minimal damage, and very few people. There were some injuries, but very few fatalities. But right in the place of where these children were sitting in front of the school, the missile hit, and there now is a crater and there. And they were saying they came away from that showing how God is still a miracle-working God and protects His people. That's what it's about. Oh, my gosh. So as we get into this morning, thank you, Sister Brenda, for your text to the music department. I love to read it. It confirmed my word, and that way I knew I was right on target. Sister Norris, she's got a communication there with the Lord, you know, and I know she's going to hear from Him. So I knew I was right on track. Then thank you, Lord, that I hadn't gone off on a rabbit trail. How's that? So. Anyway, talking about the favor of God, how's that? Isaiah 60 and verse 1 and 2. Let's read those two verses. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory. Everybody say His glory. His glory shall be seen upon thee. Title of my message today is Desire His Glory. Desire His Glory. Let me begin by saying there has never been a greater time in history than right now to get right with God and to have your heart right and open to God and His leading in our lives. As I mentioned, this last Thursday began a season so holy to the Jews, they consider it the beginning of their year. Jews today call it Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year. And the Jewish people, we find, gather to begin this special seasoning, or this season, with a feast day called the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets is actually one of the seven feasts described in the Bible that was required by God to the Jewish people. The Hebrew word for feast literally means appointed times. And so these feasts, we could say, reveal to us what God has appointed to happen. And to give us a better understanding of that, we find that once God had delivered the Jews from slavery in Egypt some 1,500 years ago, about 1,500 B.C., he set about sculpting them or shaping them into a people unique in the world. In a world of polytheistic cultures, meaning in a society where they believed in and worshiped multiple gods, there was Jehovah God, the creator of heaven and earth, the great I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who wanted them then to remain distinctively monotheistic, meaning he wanted them to just worship and believe in one God. And so surrounded as they were by immorality, he had them abide then by a strict legal code that directed their behavior, their morality, and their ethics. Alone in a pagan world, they were to follow a unique system then of worship and dictated by their one true God through this man Moses. The structure for this worship was based on a series then of holy days, each of which had a special meaning and a unique set of rituals. And so we find meticulous instructions for celebrating each of these in the Hebrew Scriptures, which of course now is the Old Testament part of our Bible. In Leviticus 23, the feasts are all listed there briefly. We won't go into great detail today, but these Feasts of the Lord, as they were called, begins with the Sabbath day, of course, that actually occurs weekly. And we know the Lord fulfilled the law, and the Lord now is our Sabbath rest. Can you say amen? We can worship Him not just on the Sabbath, not just on a Sunday, but how about we can worship Him every day of the week? Amen. Amen. Then the other seven holy days are divided then into four feasts in the spring and three which occur in the fall. Now, something I want us to see and be reminded of is that in the mission of Jesus, the four spring feasts symbolized events which took place when He was on the earth. It was during what is called the Passover feast. He gave us communion, and He was crucified on Passover. And it was during what is known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You remember when they left Israel, they were told, when they left Egypt, they were told to that night, don't you put any leaven in that bread for it to rise. So you take it, make it, cook it, make it unleavened. So it was on the Feast of Unleavened Bread He was placed in the tomb. And He was resurrected then at the Feast of First Fruits. And He sent the Holy Spirit then to us on the Feast of Weeks, known as Pentecost, which meaning 50, it was 50 days after the Passover feast. So on these feast days, God commanded all of the Jews to present themselves before Him. In the time of Jesus, this required all Jews to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for these events. And I want us to see then how 1,500 years in advance, God set up large audiences in Jerusalem for several of the major events that would take place in the ministry and the life of Jesus. The city would have been filled with people during this time that He was crucified, buried, and during His resurrection. And we then, with humility and awe, can see the symbolism of these observances and how they were so richly incorporated into the ministry of Jesus. So again, in the mission of Jesus, the four spring feasts symbolize events which took place while he was on the earth. And then, watch this. We have the three fall feasts, which in themselves represent events that are to be fulfilled on his return. The Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, which began actually last Wednesday evening to Thursday, represents the return of Christ and the gathering of believers. And the next being the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, will mark the final day of judgment. And Yom Kippur will be celebrated then next Friday going into Saturday. So we are in the midst of a 10-day period that's called the Days of Awe. And the third of the fall feasts is the Feast of Tabernacles, which marks the return of Christ then to dwell once again with us. And for 7 days they celebrate how God saved them in the wilderness, how salvation came to them, and he saved them throughout the 40 years in the wilderness. And it was on, in Jesus' day, it was on the final day of this feast that Jesus chose to stand up and with a very loud voice, he said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them." Now, how unique was that? So the first of these three fall feasts, as I mentioned earlier, is called the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets begins a holy season with Rosh Hashanah that, to the Jewish mind, can be compared to a legal trial. The trial begins with sinful acts being presented through self-examination on the Feast of Trumpets. This is followed by pleading for mercy during the ensuing 10 days of repentance, known as the Days of Awe. And finally, judgment is received on the Day of Atonement, called Yom Kippur, with the results hopefully being a full return to God. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was and still is the most solemn and holy of all the days to the Jewish people. Described for us in the Bible, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest was permitted to enter the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle or the temple to approach the Lord with his spirit, where his spirit resided above the mercy seat. And after the high priest went through a complex set of sacrifices to atone for his own sins and the sins of all the people, we find and read that a goat was then led out to die outside the wall of the city. The goat was symbolically taking the sins of the people with it. The high priest was then able to enter the Holy of Holies to sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant. If the high priest lived, he would go outside and he would lift up his hands and pronounce the Aaronic blessing on the people. And we sang about it here today. The blessing is recorded for us in Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Bible tells us in the New Testament the blood of bulls and goats could not provide true and permanent forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus came then to provide himself as the ultimate sacrifice. We find that he was sentenced to death in the temple by the high priest, who said prophetically that it was expedient that he should die, that one should die for the people. Jesus was then led outside the walls to bear the sins of Israel and of every person in the world. When the temple was destroyed then by the Babylonians and again by the Romans, there was no longer a Holy of Holies, no longer the high priest or the sacrificial system. The Jewish people had to find another means of atonement. Following the example then of the exiled prophet Daniel, prayer replaced blood sacrifice, and then good deeds were included. So both became the primary means of achieving atonement. And to this day, Jews observe the Day of Atonement by spending their day at the synagogue in fasting and praying. For Jews, there is a certain awe about this time of the year. And it is said that there's not that much attention given to the rest of the year. But if there ever was a time then to be serious with God, it is this time of the year. So a month before Rosh Hashanah, they start blowing the shofar every day in the synagogue to prepare for this Jewish New Year. And the reason this feast is called the Feast of Trumpets is because the distinguishing feature is the blowing of the trumpets, or what they call the shofar. And on this feast, the Jews will hear the trumpets blown some 100 times. Trumpet calls in the Bible we find were associated with the calling of a holy assembly, or a warning of danger, or the arrival of a king. As Christians, we see then as a foreshadow of the rapture of the church, where Jesus gathers together his body of believers to meet him in the sky. And one of the blasts of the trumpets that stands out is what is known as the last climactic long blast of the shofar. And it's this last blast that is referred to as the last trump. Let me give you scripture for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with the 16th verse. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And I believe the next verse says, comfort people with these words as often as you can. To meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. Here's what Paul wrote. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's not very long, is it? At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Whew. Many scholars then believe Jesus the Messiah will return at the Feast of Trumpets. And we see then these appointed times are important to the Lord. So should it be that we ought to be prayed up and ready when that last trumpet sounds? The Bible tells us we don't know the day or the hour, but we will know the season. And so if this season is what is events that will come to pass, then we need to be ready, whether this year or next year or whenever. The Jews believe their names will be recorded then on the Day of Atonement in a special book determined whether they live or die. So they spend these 10 days leading up to that time repenting and asking to be written in the book of life for one more year. Now, to the meat of my message today, can I tell you that any day is a good day to approach the Lord, especially with a reverence and awe that He alone deserves. Repenting and thanking Him for what He did for us in Calvary And what really brings us then into a continual, not atonement, but let's say it this way, brings us into a continual at-one-ment with the Savior, and which allows our names to be written and recorded forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. So these 10 days of awe and repentance are a very important time. And the church ought to be at the same time alongside the Jewish people praying and seeking God. And I don't think I can say it enough. There's never been a more serious time or greater time in history than right now to get right with God. Getting back to our text in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Let's read it again. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. This is where I believe we are in history right now. Did you notice how the prophet penned this? He wrote, darkness shall cover the earth. But he had to emphasize it again to get the message to us. Not just darkness, but gross darkness. Listen, most people don't know what this means. We don't have to hear or see the news very long to see things are bad in our world today. Can you say amen? We could all greatly expound and dwell on what we have heard or seen this last week alone in the news. What's happening with the devastation up in the Carolinas and the Tennessee and all of that from the hurricane. And listen, it would be easy then to sink into a pit of despair and depression and woe if we allowed ourselves to go there. And sadly, folks that don't know God go there. Or the opposite can happen. And I choose my words very carefully. You get so mad at those in power, you desire for a Rambo to come on the scene. Amen. And let me say it this way. To rectify the abominable indiscretions being done against average Americans. How about that? I got to be careful because I'm on YouTube. How's that? I believe things will even get much worse in the days ahead. What are we going to do if our favorite candidate does not get elected? Our trust then better be in God alone and not in some political party. Can you say amen? But I want you to leave today with some good news. Yes, the prophet Isaiah told us plainly about the darkness that would cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But look again how he gave it to us. Look how verse 2 is placed. He gave us hope going into it and coming out of it. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. And look what he adds. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now hear me real close. Those that have the glory will be prepared for what comes. Amen. Oh, I hope you're hearing me this morning. As we watch secular media, we know the world has made a mockery of anything and everything concerning God. But I want you to know that God is not going to put up with it much longer. Here's the question I have today. Will you as an individual be in, or are you going to be out? One or the other. And I have to be truthful with you today because I will stand accountable before God as the under-shepherd of this flock. Again, those that have the glory will be prepared for what comes. Just being a church-goer and a pew-warmer does not mean that person will receive the glory. Jesus spoke these words, and John recorded it for us, found in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. This is a message for much of the church world today. He says, I know your works, and you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now let's take this time in the days ahead to search our hearts. I want to tell you, the glory is available for anybody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, who have repented and accepted Him into their heart as Lord and Savior and Master, and they've come and asked Him to come in and reside. The glory is available to you. And we have thought of the glory as just being a touch from God on a Sunday. We've called it the anointing, and we've even related it to the presence of God that we have felt. Those times are wonderful, and they are true. And I am by no means making light of those times. But as I looked at the word glory in this portion of Scripture, I saw its Hebrew name. And the word glory used here is pronounced kavod in the Hebrew. And for this word glory or kavod, the meaning is a heaviness or a weightiness. Have you ever been in that place after worshiping and praising God, that you was in that place that you felt like you could not stand any longer? You had to sit if you were standing, or you had to just bow down on your knees, or even just stretch flat out on the floor. And many of us have experienced those precious times, back in our Saturday evening times of worship. Why? Because you were in the presence of Almighty God, and you felt His wonderful and glorious presence so upon you. It was like a heavy coat that had been placed around you. You knew then that healing was present. You knew then that peace had come on you. You knew that there was joy around you because the Waymaker had come in. The miracle worker had come into our presence. Jesus Himself had come in through His Spirit into the house. Can I tell you then that much of the church, for the most part, has never experienced those kinds of things. But my Bible tells me Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. I want to be ready. And I want you also to be ready. Listen now, He wants His glory to ignite us for His kingdom and for the work that we still have to do for the kingdom. It is the time for great glory to come on the church, and it's the time of great evangelism on our city and our country and the world. Let's not hold back. As the Father Himself, God first dwelt among the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness, revealing Himself as the Shekinah glory, and communicated directly with Moses in the tabernacle. And then He robed Himself in flesh, and He came then as the Son of Man. Jesus came and walked among men on the earth for some 33 and a half years. And today, just as He promised, He comes as the Holy Spirit then to live and dwell in the hearts of His people, those called the believers. And I want to encourage you then, if you don't have a personal relationship today with Jesus Christ, make the decision to do so. I can't stress it enough about the times that we are living in. People are going to flock to the churches, you've got to know this, as they will not have any other hope to hold on to. As believers, we are to be the light shining in the darkness. We have that promise, but without the Holy Spirit of God, there is no light, nor is there any glory. Again, I want to be ready for when Christ returns for his bride. In the meantime, we do have a work to do. We have a city to reach, Brandon, and souls that need to be saved. And we all have family members that are in need of Jesus. Amen? We can't do it without the glory. And just as Brandon and Sister North encourages us each Sunday to stay in his presence, and while you go about your day, then know he's right there with you, directing your steps. Let me remind us to take time to acknowledge his presence and thank him for just who he is and what he's done for you. Oh, hasn't God been good to you and to me? Where would we be without the Lord? Can you think of that pit that you were in? I know I can. Thank God he picked me up out of that miry clay, set me up on a rock to stay. If so, then let's be bold and let's share the good news of Jesus Christ. One last scripture taken from Psalm 68 and 1. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. If you want to know how to overcome some things right now, how to come through some situations, as you go from this place today, make a decision to let God arise anew in your heart. As your head hits the pillow tonight, and when your feet hit the floor in the morning, begin with your mouth proclaiming out loud and declaring life over yourself. For example, begin the day declaring, Lord, let the spirit of the healer arise in my life today. To destroy whatever has attacked my body. Let the enemy be scattered. Start your day with that. Include your family members in those declarations. Lord, let the spirit of a sound mind arise in my life today. And the enemy of depression be scattered. Let the spirit of power arise in my heart today, Lord. And let the spirit of love arise in my heart today. Listen, all of those are power. Weapons. They're weapons that can be used against the enemy. And let those enemies of hate and division that want to tear families apart be scattered and brought down. Remember our text today. That promises the Lord shall come upon you, rise upon you. Your light has come and the glory is risen upon you. Hear me closely. Do not believe the lies of the enemy that wants to keep you down and defeated. Because that's what his job is. Let God arise in your heart today and go from this place knowing the glory of Almighty God does rest upon you and dwells in you to be able to walk in victory on a daily basis. Psalm 68 and verse 2 goes on to say, let the wicked perish at the presence of God, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Listen, we don't have to live a life of being down and depressed. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting to see great things happen in the midst of a dark world. And I, for one, want to experience the manifestation of the glory of God on me. And just know that anytime we gather together, as we come hungry and thirsty for more of God, the glory will fall upon us. If we will open our hearts, we sang about it this morning, open our hearts to receive all that he has for us. Let's search our hearts to make sure nothing hinders the light of God to shine through us to a dark world. Allow the glory of God then to arise in your heart and watch what happens. Today, let's come into agreement as a body that we too will seek the Lord in the days ahead, and especially this next week that ends with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. More than anything else, we should all want our hearts right before God. Amen. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want His glory. I want His glory upon me. I want to be able to walk into some business or some place and people wonder, what is it about you? There's just something different about you. And I want it to be the light and the glory of God. Amen. Amen.